How you doing? So you get a uniform answer, right? God is good. Good enough to save us from our sins through Christ, preserve the record of how he's done that and many of the lessons and teachings associated with it. The power of Christ to save us and the power of Christ to use us. This morning we're coming to an important passage. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. You can feel free to turn in the Bible or follow along in your bulletin as well. It's printed for you there on one of the pages. Let me encourage you to stand at this time as we read from the Word. Matthew 14, verse 15 and following. Let's meditate on the power of Christ. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and he said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. God's spoken and preserved word, may He preserve it and speak it to our hearts this morning. Please be seated. My wife informed me the other day that there are 2 miracles that are recorded in all 4 Gospels. The first is the resurrection. The second is this story. What Christ has done with the small offering that was placed into his hands. Apparently, God must think it's calling for special attention that we not miss what he can do with the little that we place into his hands. We live in a world where there's huge need. Faces change, the places they change, but God often opens our eyes to the need. And then we think about ourselves and what can I do? And then God puts a burden on your heart and you have to make a decision. What am I going to do? Will I do anything? I want us to go step by step here for a minute or two to just observe the concise flow of this event that's preserved in these 4 Gospels. But before we do, I want to say this, as you see the need around you, and God draws it to your attention. When you don't have much to offer, little is much when God is in it. Can you say those words with me? Little is much when God is in it. So observe. Jesus, the disciples of Jesus, see a need. People are hungry. You notice it was not Jesus Himself who notices the need or says there's a need. It's the disciples. Their eyes are opened. Secondly, the disciples want the hungry people themselves to meet their own need. And they want Jesus to tell them, go ahead and meet your own need. Send them away. Buy some food for yourselves. They think the problem should be handled that way. But Christ calls His followers who see the need. He said, I want you to respond to that need. Well, the followers look around and they say, well, we don't have much to offer. He said, five loaves and two fish. Well, He says, what you have to offer, just bring it here. Put it in My hands. So Jesus' followers make what little they have, they put it in His hands. We're just following the text, observing it. We don't see this, but you've got to wonder. Perhaps they are wondering, what's He going to do with this stuff? Now what's He going to do? I put it into His hands. Well, Jesus blesses the little bit that they make available to Him. It's all right there in the text. And then Jesus does something mysterious. Something quite intriguing. As you begin to meditate on what goes on once someone places an offering into His hands. Something thought-provoking. Something wonderful. We're never told how He does it. He just quietly takes that offering of theirs and He blesses the needy people. The same needy people that the disciples themselves noticed. And now, they're better off. I suspect everybody is better off. We haven't even begun to open this passage. We just observed what's there. Perhaps that's the best thing I can do for you, is to let you notice what can be done when you place your small resource into Christ's hands to help somebody. Last week we talked about how God likes to choose small, insignificant people. That way we can never get proud. Hey, look what I have brought to the table, to my salvation, to my forgiveness. Or to think that we can sustain our own forgiveness and relationship with God. We can't. This week we see that God's not only interested in choosing small, insignificant people, so to speak, but He wants to use your small world, your small resource. The little things that He has given you to bless others around you. And so I'd like to share a story, a true story of a young man. Someone told me about this man. Somehow he survived a terrible, terrible war in his homeland. Things were so bad that this man, along with his family and the whole town, had to evacuate. Some of them hiding in the woods. Some going to other lands, other countries. And they left everything behind because too many people were being killed. The man's sister was killed. Her child was killed. And when the war was over, he returned to his hometown to help his town start over. Seems his place was the only one left standing and not in great shape. And he wanted to thank God for sparing his life and for saving him from his sins. He thought he didn't have much to offer, and he wasn't sure where he was going to begin. But he made his heart available. And his eyes were opened as he saw a few needy children running the streets. Hungry. No mom. No dad. And he didn't have much to offer, but he gave them a bowl of rice. Then he gave them the Bible. And this is how he gave them Christ. That was 6 years ago today. 6 years ago. And now today there are 4 dozen orphans living in the young man's on his property. They have no place to go except to a new school. A new school where nearly 1,000 students now attend Monday to Friday on the young man's property. And on Sundays, where do they go? They go to church. And where is that? On this young man's property. Where about 400 people gather every Sunday to worship Jesus Christ. And it all started with a young man named Bill who saw a few starving orphans and gave them a bowl of rice. And now you know the story of New Hope Orphanage, School, and Church, co-founded by Bill and his sister Louise, a member of Grace Presbyterian Church. That's what I love about this passage. It's not just about something that happened way back when. It's not just a theological truth of the power of Christ and what He can do when we place something into His hands to meet a need that is huge. It's about reality and how you can be a tremendous blessing to the people around you as we offer ourselves to God. Little is much when God is in it. Can you say it? Little is much when God is in it. When you see a need, when Christ opens your eyes to a need, He wants to use our little. Indeed, Christ can use your little to do a lot. Sometimes He lets you see it. A lot of times, you may never see it until the world to come. But know this, Christ can use your little to do much. What can be done with a walking stick? You ask. Well, you can point it up towards heaven, and God may send down hail and thunder and fire with a simple cane, a shepherd's crook. Exodus 9:23. Moses. And what can be done with an ox goad? You say, what in the world's an ox goad, right? What is that? Well, it's like a giant pencil. And it's like you poke your ox. You know, you get him to do some work for you. Push him in the right way. You can read about Shinar, the third judge, put to death 600 men with an ox goad. Judges 3:31. And what could be done with a donkey's jawbone? They say, well, that's easy. What can be done with that? We'll put it in a hole in the ground and bury it. It's dead. We're reminded of the story of Samson, who prayed and slew 1,000 with the jawbone of a donkey. 1,000 enemies of God. Judges 15:16. And what about a piece of red string? What could be done with that? Well, we find that Rahab, in faith, hung it out her window, and it saved her life, saved the lives of her whole household. A sewing needle, you can read about it. You can sew clothes and put a shirt on the poor, like Dorcas did in Acts chapter 9. Make clothing for the poor with a little needle. And then there was Dave. Remember Dave? Dave only had 5 stones that day. But Dave only needed one. 1 Samuel 17, and that giant of a man came tumbling down. Matthew 10:42. Jesus said, even a cup of cold water will do much. And I find it interesting that Christ would even notice that in the world to come. Here we have what? 7 items mentioned, little meal, 5 loaves and a couple fish. Some scholars say it was probably just little sardines. Not for maybe a household of 4 or something sitting around a table. Zechariah 4:10, do not despise the day of small things. If you look at your resources, don't belittle the little things. Everything you have is a gift from God. And don't think it can't be used in the appropriate situation, in the right way, to bless someone. The kingdom of heaven is like that. It's like a little mustard seed. You know, it just starts out small. And next thing you know, this thing has grown into something enormous. A giant tree and the nations of the world, like the birds, coming to live in its branches. So here's the question Christ wants you to ponder. Is the little you have to offer available? Here's the question that Christ has for you to ponder. Is the little that you have to offer available? Christ calls us to a ministry of availability. Is your heart available to Him? Should He open your eyes to a need and then call you to help? You know, one thing, the disciples looked at the need and they probably did the logical thing. The truth is, we're supposed to enable ourselves. We're not supposed to be enablers or to enable people. The normal routine is that you take care of your own stuff and your own needs, your own family, and you do it yourself, of course, trusting in God. And you don't want to be leaning on a bunch of other people to help you. That's a rule of thumb. We work to be independent, humanly speaking, to be self-sufficient, and of course, hopefully have something to bless people around us. But there are times when God calls us to pitch in, like many of you do often. The disciples had special revelation. They had Jesus walking right there in their midst, didn't they? So he could say, hey, I want you to help on this one. I'm not sending them to town so they can buy some food for themselves. This is my call right now. You help out. Well, we don't have him speaking to us like that. But we do have a conscience. And we do have a heart. And sometimes our hearts are burdened, aren't they? And sometimes God's just in the back of our mind like a hangnail. You know, it's just like it won't go away. It's just nagging you. And you want to get rid of it. And the only way to get rid of it is to respond and bless somebody. To take the little bit that you have, get rid of the hangnail. I think you may find that burden might be lifted, unless it's a continual need. And that nail might hang there a long, long time. And you know that's a real blessing. Because then you don't have to like think through a whole stuff. You just feel it through. You just know it's the right thing to do. Because you're hurting, because they're hurting. That's a good thing. It's a great feeling. Sometimes you pray, Lord, give me more so that I can give more. You got it? If I only had more, I could do more. So I went online. We're talking about availability here. I went online and I said, what in the world does that look like? What would it look like, an image of something available or someone available? Guess what I saw? All dressed up, a bride and a groom, ready to be married. Picture of availability. Also saw a clock. Picture of a clock, and they had superimposed on the face of it 24/7. Availability, 24/7. All the time. I believe that's where God wants our hearts. Available all the time. Should He open our eyes to a need, nag us, put a burden on our heart, maybe give us a sense of compassion. And then there was another one, which is, to me, it's a little more gentle. It was decimal points. It was percentages. It had a whole myriad of numbers. They were all muted except one. Well, it turns out they were all the same number. Even the one that was standing out in red. 99.99%. That would be pretty good, wouldn't it? If we could go through a whole week and, hey, Lord, I was available 99.99% this week. That would be terrific. Truth is, it's probably more like 50% or something. 75. I don't want to judge you. But, you know, I believe in the doctrine of sanctification. You know, glorification is waiting for the next life. That's when we're there, right? That's when your mom's proud and your dad's proud. Hey, you're good to go. But here, you know, God gave us the Spirit and the Word because He's going to still work on us. So that we'll be the new you more and more often. But 99.99 isn't bad for picture availability, is it? I wonder if you had to put a percentage on your typical week and your heart. We're not talking about trying to be irresponsible. I mean, obviously, God makes us have commitments. He understands. He gives us the commitments. He gives us the job. He calls us to work with our hands. And He calls us to integrity and things that get us involved in principles and honoring our word and so forth. That's a given. But the question is your heart at any given time said, Lord, I'll drop it all. I'm available. Might hurt me a little bit financially. I might have to sacrifice. I might have to turn off the TV set a little bit more. You got it? Availability. They said, look, Lord, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. By the way, you have to wonder. It's not in the text, so I'm seeing it over here. It's not in the text. 5,000 men. Who knows? Maybe 5,000 women? Maybe 5,000 children? That's maybe 15,000? Who knows? And they can only come up with 5 loaves and 2 fish? You got to wonder if someone didn't have some stuff tucked in their pocket. I just had a power bar in there. I put it outside because it was put it out in the hallway there because it was taking up my pocket. You know, no room here to move and breathe. Plus, it would probably melt. Availability. Interesting what King Duncan in Time for Action says. Sometimes the greatest ability we can have is availability. To be where God can call, to be within whisper range of His summons, that is the beginning of a life of meaningful discipleship. The Virgin Mary didn't have a clue when she got that visit from the angel. Only a couple times in the Bible an angel's named, that's one of them. Gabriel comes. Hey, you're going to have a child, okay? Whoa. Man, not married? Never had a relationship with anybody? Don't plan to till you get married. That's the way it should be. She said, I don't understand. He tried to explain. Did explain to some extent. Guess what she says in Luke 1:38. Mary said, I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. That's the Message translation. I'm the maid. I'm your maid. I'm ready to serve. That's what we are called to be. Maids and butlers ready to serve the Master. Isaiah's vision. He wanted a message. He wanted someone to preach. In our context, it would be someone to teach Sunday school. Someone to lead a midweek Bible study. Someone to facilitate a group. To get the truth that God has about Christ saving us from our sins and giving us a future and letting the world somehow find that same message and making sure we stay on the same path, following Him till we get there. Well, we need teachers. We need someone to take up the task. And God calls a number of us to do it. And He was calling Isaiah, and so He gives Isaiah a vision. And in the middle of the vision, it says in the book, then I heard the voice of the Lord asking, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, come on, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. And of course, there's the negative example of Jonah. God also, He wanted to tell the Ninevites a message. And He said, Jonah, by the way, you have the special privilege of telling this people a message. The message would be, I'm going to pour judgment out on you, and you deserve it if you don't change your ways, or I'll be glad to forgive you if you'll say you're sorry and move in a better direction. I'll have mercy. Jonah didn't like having to tell that message. You know that? He didn't like the people. They weren't his favorite people, given the history of the Ninevites. You know, they were internationals. They were foreigners. Not to mention all the negative stuff that had been associated with them. Didn't want to go there, so he says, I'm the Lord. Lord, I'm available. I'm getting right on the ship. Boom, going the opposite direction. Yeah, I'm available. Did you ever do that? Just duck out. You're in the grocery store. You know, you see somebody just ducking in the other aisle. Seriously. You don't want that confrontation. We've all done it. Sometimes we need to stay in the aisle. Let it happen. Shake hands. Make up. And all that goes with it. Availability. Derek Tupper tells of a little story of a mother making pancakes for her two sons. Any pancake eaters in here? Any sons in here? Kevin was 5, Ryan was 3. The boys began to argue, who's going to get the first pancake? Their mother sensed the opportunity, like a good mother, to teach a moral lesson. Mom's going to teach them a lesson. Mother said, I want you two boys to play a game. Imagine that Jesus were sitting here and he was one of you. Imagine Jesus sitting here and he was one of you. He would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait. Kevin turned to his younger brother, and said, okay, Ryan, you be Jesus. Yeah, we laugh because we can identify. We want to be first. We like to have the first pancake and the last one. We like to have that for ourselves. But sometimes somebody else is hungry. Sometimes somebody else, God wants to be a little sweet on them. The doctors wash up and rush to surgery when there's an emergency. Firefighters, they rush out when there's a fire. Moms and dads often get up in the middle of the night to take care of little children when they're crying or hurting. J. Hudson Taylor, missionary to China, he said this, and this is a great quote. I used to ask God if he would come and help me. Then I asked God if I could come and help him. Finally, I ended up by asking God to do his own work through me. And some of his own work is opening your eyes to see a need. And then nagging you, or putting a burden on your heart, call you to help meet that need. And you say to yourself, Lord, I don't have much to offer. Little is much when God is in it. Say it. Well, I want to say something else about this passage. And that's the blessing. They were available. And so to get God in it, they gave Jesus the fish and the loaves. They put their offering, their little, into his hands. And what did he do? He blessed. He asked God's blessing on it. Isn't that what we need? I mean, just face it, folks. I'm wasting my time if I stand up here and prepare a sermon and God doesn't get involved to bless it. And aren't you wasting your time when you try to raise your children? Or you make a comment in a meeting? Or you go to work and you labor for food on your table? Or you labor to do something significant? You want to help a situation? You want to, I don't know, raise your hand and vote? But isn't it a waste of time unless God blesses our vote? Unless God is with us in our speech? Is with us when we give that $20 to a needy cause? And let me say this. It's my personal conviction that we should expect God to bless every little offering that we place into his hands. Otherwise, we're wasting our time. As I said, he's not going to turn everything into 1,000 students in a school and build a church and all that. But he will bless those who are living by faith. He says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Let us come with confidence that we may have help in time of need, that the Lord will be with us. Without faith, it is impossible for us to even come close to pleasing God or to having any significant contribution whatsoever. And so I pray and ask God to help us that we would more and more see that our literal, when we give it, when we are available, that we will actually believe that this will matter and does matter before God, like the widow's two mites, two small copper coins, was far, far much more in God's eyes than these others who were pouring tons into the offering because God wasn't in what they were doing. But she was there trusting the living God to use what little she could bring to the place. One of my favorite scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15:58. And you'll find me every now and then, I'll put a little note on the bottom when I send you something. It'll say, knowing that your labor for Him is not a waste of your time. That's my own translation. Well, the 100 crowd at the end of the passage notice. They ate. They all ate. A few fish brought to them and loaves. They all ate. You see it? They all were satisfied. 12 baskets full left over. And 12 baskets full. They weren't half full. They weren't three-quarter full. They were all full. The need was huge. The offering that they could give was little. It wasn't much. They were almost reluctant to give it, but they did. And 5,000 men, plus the women, plus the children, as I said, maybe 15,000. In the end, their contribution was more than enough. With one small meal placed in the hands of Christ, thousands were fed. Which brings us back to the story of the young man named Bill. He wanted to thank God for sparing his life and for saving him from his sins. He didn't have much to offer. He wasn't sure where to begin, but he made his heart available. His eyes were opened when he saw a few needy children running the streets. No mom, no dad to help feed their hungry stomachs. So he gave them a bowl of rice. And he gave them the Bible. And this is how he gave them Christ, who died on a tree to take away our sins. For all who believe. And so I leave you with these helpful poetic words by Philip Clark Brewer. He says, God uses what you have to fill a need you could never have filled. God uses where you are to take you where you never could have gone. God uses what you can do to accomplish what you never could have done. God uses who you are to let you become who you never could have been. May you become followers of Christ who always remember little is much when God is in it. Our Father, we bow before you. We ask that you'd use this message to have your way in us and to bless the need of the world around us as we place what we've been given with confidence into the hands of Christ, who has blessed us and wants us to continue to bless this needy world around us, leading them to the heart of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.